Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's turn now to politics as the presidential race shifts to three western states. Both parties are voting in Arizona and Utah, while Democrats are caucusing in Idaho today. Among the big questions, can Ted Cruz slow Donald Trump's march toward the Republican nomination? And after a string of losses 2 weeks ago, can Democrat Bernie Sanders win in the West and remain a viable challenge to Hillary Clinton? Joining us now are Republican strategist Jeff Stinson. He's an attorney at Stinson Law, and Democratic analyst Dan Payne. Jeff, Dan, welcome to you both. Good to have you.
Good to be here.
Nice to be with you.
That's Dan on the phone and Jeff here in the studio. So before we get to those big questions that I mentioned, let's start with a Twitter and Facebook war of words between Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren and the Republican frontrunner Donald Trump. And for listeners who need a little update on the background, here it is. So Warren denounced Trump on Facebook as a demagogue and a bigger, uglier threat every day that goes by. She referenced Hitler and Mussolini and urged Republicans, Democrats, and independents to denounce him before it's too late. Trump responded, telling the New York Times Warren's whole life was based on a fraud, a reference to Warren's claim that she had Native American ancestry, which surfaced in her Senate campaign. So, Dan, I'll come to you first. What do you make of Elizabeth Warren going after Trump in this way?
Well, the insult that he probably felt most intimately was she called him a loser. And in his world, that's absolute sacrilege. Her visibility against Trump is good for the Democrats because she's very popular with party people. But, you know, you can't win a Twitter war against Donald Trump, unless you have nothing else to do, because that's what he does pretty much full time. When he isn't giving speeches, he's tweeting.
Mm. Jeff Stinson, what's your response? So what do you make of Warren going after Trump this way?
Trump is fire. You can't fight fire with fire. Anybody who's tried to beat Trump at his own game loses. Not to mention this is a Republican primary, so she can tell Republicans and Democrats not to support him all she wants, but it's actually not going to make a difference. And it doesn't really affect him. I mean, calling Donald Trump a loser, yeah, you're right, it probably does affect his ego a little bit, but you know, he'll always fight back. As Dan said, he'll be on Twitter till 2 a.m. in the morning in his mansion, and he'll fight to the death.
Well, let's hear right from their own mouths. So when asked about the attacks from Warren, Trump asked, "You mean the Indian?" Then he said this. Let's take a listen.
People like Elizabeth Warren really have to get their act together, because it's going to stay divided. And that includes Hillary and probably includes me, includes everybody. This country has to get together.
So that's Donald Trump responding to Elizabeth Warren there. And this also became a source of humor at last Sunday's St. Patrick's Day breakfast in South Boston. Here's Elizabeth Warren.
Donald Trump is floating Scott Brown as a possible running mate. I want you to think about that. It would be the perfect reality show matchup. Celebrity Apprentice meets the Biggest Loser.
Okay, so Dan Payne, obviously Warren making light of it there, but respond to Jeff Stinson's idea that you can't fight sort of Donald Trump fire with fire. It's kind of a losing game.
Yeah, I think, you know, she can have fun with him and she can occupy some of the space against Trump. I don't think it affects Republicans, as Jeff says. The news media like it because they like Elizabeth Warren. They give her a lot of attention. They don't like her as much as they like Donald Trump, but she's a popular figure. So whatever she does, whether on Twitter or in a speech or, you know, an offhand remark, she'll get plenty of coverage.
Mm. Okay. So Donald Trump was in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Among a series of meetings, he met with the editorial board of The Washington Post. And it was a pretty interesting meeting, and he said some interesting thing. And things. Here's an example of that. He was asked if he'd favor the use of battlefield nuclear weapons against ISIS. And here's the exchange between Donald Trump and members of the Washington Post editorial board.
I don't want to start the process of nuclear. Remember, one thing that everybody has said, I'm a counterpuncher. Rubio hit me. Bush hit me. When I said low energy, he's a low energy individual. He hit me first. Spent $18 million worth of negative ads on me. That's pitting. That's many.
No, but this was about ISIS. You would not use a tactical nuclear weapon against ISIS.
This is a very good-looking group of people. Could I just go around and, so I know who the hell I'm talking
sure,
to? Is that possible?
And Jeff Stinson, what did you make of Donald Trump's visit to Washington?
Well, he's proving over and over again that he's essentially Teflon. I mean, everybody knows what he's saying is ridiculous. They understand that. Even some of his supporters understand it, but it doesn't affect their viewpoint of him. I think the biggest thing people are forgetting about the editorial sit-down is that he essentially said ISIS needs to nuke us in order for him to take those type of actions against ISIS. Mm-hmm. And I think
that's what he meant. That's what his answer is. Don't forget, I'm a good counterpuncher.
Exactly.
So he wouldn't start it. Right.
So he's essentially saying, you know, we as a country, I guess, need to be nuked. I don't know. I mean, it was baffling. And then for him to just turn the discussion towards the attractiveness of the group and have them, I listened to the whole thing and to hear them introduce themselves. And one person actually said, I want to ask you about this topic. And he says, okay, I'll answer that. Next person. And they went through and he never answered her question either. It's incredible. And no one actually in that group, by the way, even questioned him on that. They actually, even these folks who have actually written some pretty heavy editorials against him have actually, you know, a lot of the reporters have been pretty harsh on him. Even they didn't question him, and that's really just sort of, you know, exemplifies the Donald Trump candidacy so far.
He's the master at changing the subject. I mean, here he goes before the top people at the Post editorial board in the most influential paper in Washington, including Marty Baron, who's the head of the Post editorial board, the spotlight chief, and he wastes time. He talks about the size of his hands and how nice the Post's new offices are. And as you say, you know, he compliments a woman in the room, says she's beautiful. I mean, this is a man that we are thinking about nominating for president of the United States. I mean, he's a loser. Elizabeth Warren is right.
All right. Well, let's talk about that process and about the primaries today. First, Republicans are voting in Arizona and Utah. And I guess one of the big questions is, if Ted Cruz can top 50% in Utah, he'll get all 40 delegates. That would arguably blunt Trump's expected win in Arizona, reduce his chances of reaching that magic number of 1,237 delegates to secure the nomination. Jeff, how do you see this playing out?
Cruz will certainly win Utah. I think there's a good chance he'll actually secure that 50+1%. You're right that it may slow him. I don't think it still prevents him from getting to 1237. I also do believe that Trump will win the winner-take-all state of Arizona this evening, which will give him, I think it's 50-some-odd delegates, but regardless, people forget is even if he does not get to 1237 delegates, he's going to get close, and you're going to have that many delegates who are Donald Trump supporters, besides the six, I guess, who I read weren't voted in because they had foreign last names. You know, they're going to be sitting there and they're going to be supporting Donald Trump. And the question is, are you going to get enough people on a second ballot to essentially remove him, or not remove him, but, you know, basically vote over Donald Trump to get him to be the nominee? And I just don't think it is feasible. I don't think it's practical. And the Republican Party needs to start preparing for Donald Trump as the Republican primary winner and the candidate in November.
Dan Payne, what do you think about that? Because I think, you know, as a journalist, I think a lot of people are sort of licking their chops at the prospect of covering a contested convention. I mean, that happens so rarely. But how do you see this playing out, and what are the chances that it moves in that direction?
Well, it depends on what the establishment in the Republican Party figures the collateral damage would be to the Republican brand if they decide to take away or outmaneuver Trump. You'll have hundreds of delegates who believe they're passionately supporting Donald Trump, and all of a sudden these people in a closed room somewhere outmaneuver them. He's already threatened, Trump that is, riots. But what do you do to calm the hundreds of Trump delegates who will be in the hall if you take away the reality that they are supporting the next nominee? I don't know how you control them.
Interesting. Well, let's move on to the Democrats. And Dan, I'll stick with you for this first question. Primaries in Utah and Arizona, caucuses in Idaho. Clinton swept Sanders 2 weeks ago, winning four primaries in the South and the Midwest. Sanders has been polling ahead of Clinton in Utah and Idaho. I guess Arizona is a question. But even a Sanders sweep leaves him well behind Clinton. So what's at stake for him today?
Bernie Sanders needs wins. He needs the states to light up on the map, And it looks like he's got a good shot at it in Arizona. That'll give him CPR, which is what his campaign needs right now, after losing 5 of 5 primaries on March 15th. So it could really make it could give the press a reason to cover him. He seems to be doing well in Utah, and you know, it's quite likely he could win all three states. Utah is a caucus state, where Sanders has won convincingly in past contests. He's got the head of an organization that represents low-wage union workers. And, you know, he's well-positioned. It seems to me that in Idaho as well, the race is tight. It's like 1 or 2 points difference. This could be a big night for Bernie Sanders.
Hmm. What do you see, Jeff Stinson? There are calls from some quarters that Hillary's got this in the bag and that Sanders should step aside and let the party unite around her. How do you see this playing out?
Well, I think this is a great reminder for Republicans to reconsider their superdelegate philosophy. I think that might have actually prevented what's happening here with Donald Trump if they had what's going on with Hillary and Bernie Sanders. I don't really see Hillary losing this primary, especially with the superdelegate aspect involved. But the question becomes now is, you know, how realistic are Bernie Sanders' chances, and at what point does it become detrimental to Hillary Clinton's candidacy? I actually think it's beneficial in a lot of ways to have him stay in. Because as soon as he is out of this race, all eyes are on Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. All eyes are on this investigation. All eyes are on her and her credibility, which quite frankly is affected all across the country, regardless if you're Democrat or Republican. It seems to have taken some hold. And so there actually is a benefit to having him stay in as long as he can. He has money. He has support. But, you know, as Dan says, it could be a big night for him. It could be a turning point, but it also would be CPR.
Dan, interesting. I mean, Jeff Stinson brings up that idea of sort of keeping the focus off of Hillary Clinton as long as Sanders is in the race. Arguably, it also makes her a better candidate, maybe. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's already pushed her in the right direction on a number of issues. He's moved her on the trade deals. He's moved her on the minimum wage. He's gotten her to be a more compassionate candidate. And as the campaign goes on, it also keeps her in fighting trim, as they say in boxing.
All right. Democratic analyst Dan Payne and Republican strategist Jeff Stinson. Jeff, Dan, thank you both for talking politics with us today. We're very grateful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.